Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Bob Dave!
Hey, Bob Dave!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the incomparable TJ Henning. TJ's wearing a spacesuit today just to keep himself safe. Hope you're doing all right. I am back. Maybe you missed me. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're PO'd that I am back, but that is what it is. I'm happy to be
here.
I love working. I don't even call this work. What I do beats working. I love what I do, and I can't stand being away. And I was away because Daddy caught the flu. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was intentional by Mama and Junior or not, but they both ganged up on me the last month. And I eventually got sick.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, man, you don't sound sick comparatively to yesterday when I heard you. And, you know.
Because I'm everything's going to be okay and non-micromanager. I'm not harassing TJ. Are we okay with the show? Are we okay? You're talking to Jay and you Tuesday. Are we okay with the show?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are quite capable and competent. It's not that at all.
No, yeah, but you sound great. Sound like you haven't been sick at all.
Well, I've been in Acapulco. You know, that whole fake spray tan thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got whitened to come back from...
There you go.
From being out. So I was gone. You may or may not have noticed. It's all good. You notice that Daniel Tosh is coming to PBA. Your chance to get the hookup with ESPN 1480. All you got to do is check us out on Facebook. Go to ESPN 1480 on Facebook and find out more if you want to go see Daniel Tosh. Here's the thing with Tosh. And I roll whenever I'm flipping through and I catch his show that's on. And I don't know what night it's on specifically. There's enough reruns on that I can see him at least once a day, it seems like, on Comedy Central. Is he still... Tuesday night guy? I mean,
I don't know. I think Tosh is overrated.
Okay. So
I don't watch him.
Okay.
I think he's kind of cheap. Like, half of his comedy is written for him. It's like videos, and then he just writes stuff after it. Like,
sure. He fills in.
He's not for me.
Okay.
But I hope people go check it out.
Urinate on that parade in promo moment. TJ Henning, steel chair, top rope.
Not for everybody, but I know a bunch of people like him.
He's funny, but he also... Mm-hmm. Is snarky and mean and gets in there, and either your skin's thick or it's not. And he's poked fun at Nebraska quite a bit, but you still want him. I mean, the college students really like him.
Oh yeah, young kids love him.
And you're still in that demo.
I am, but he's not for me.
Well, it's all right. It's all right. So anywho, go to the Facebook page of ESPN 1480 and get the info you need with Tosh. Your chance to go see Mr. Tosh. Mike Babcock is going to talk baseball with us. Nebraska baseball gets rolling tomorrow in Tempe. A full preview of Husker baseball. I'm excited for Nebraska baseball. Love Coach Erstad's team. They've got a lot of skill. Few question marks, but a lot of returning firepower. And I really like how direct Coach Erstad was with some questions he was asked at the presser with, you know, progress of the program. And we'll talk with Mike about the key guys that you know, but let's talk projection. What's going to happen? You've got a really good Big Ten this year, as you can't say that every year, but you have a league that has some teams that are built for good seasons. That's Michigan. That's Maryland, obviously. Nebraska's in there. Michigan State's in there. You have some teams that are likely to get to NCAA postseason. Nebraska wants to do that again. Lars Anderson going to be with us to start off Hour 2. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, he'll be with us in Hour 2 as well around 5:25, 466.
3776.
Thank you. That's, yeah, we're not pulling the mic and mic. it's coughing. I will promise you I'll get some cough drops here by next segment. So that's what we got going on. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. That's what you do to get in touch with us. Or can the text line 88474, you text Hail, H-A-I-L, to 88474, assuming that is still operational. We assume it is. Okay, so you had the Billy Devaney comments with the Journal Star and World Herald on Nebraska's talent. Brandon Vogel does an amazing job with hot reads. I say that every day, not because I lie to you. I say it because it's true. So I want to start there. There's a lot of different ways to go on talent. What's your definition of talent? Okay, let's define it. Is it as simple as Julio Jones making a play like he made in the Super Bowl? Good coverage, insane catch. Is it the collection of talent? Because it took O-line, Ryan, Julio to make it all work for that first down. Is it purely wins on the field? I mean, let's talk about it here. Is it wins? Is it just that God-given ability? And then there's the gray area of both, right? You have sick playmakers that are coached at a high level, and they go in and do their thing. Do you think Nebraska had more talent than everybody they faced last year? Your answer would be no. If we go down the list of 13 games that Nebraska played in, who did Nebraska out-talent in your eyes? And it's all subject to outcome, right? Well, Nebraska is more talented than Northwestern. Really, how'd they win 2 years ago? Well, Nebraska should own Iowa. Why is Iowa kicking Nebraska's butt in the trenches the last 2 years? Well, you know, Nebraska's just... And then you have your Wisconsin instances. You have Nebraska beating UCLA, and UCLA put God knows how many guys in the draft. So it's yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to answer this chicken and egg question.
I guess for me, it'd just be...
About talent.
Talent is just using your eyes. Like, it's noticeable that way.
Uh-huh.
I think that's just
way. You know what my eyes told me? My eyes told me that Indiana was a damn talented football team last year. Against Ohio State, against Nebraska. Northwestern, by Iowa and beyond, was a darn talented football team. Almost won in Columbus. Had a double-digit lead at Iowa. And then Iowa against Michigan. You want to talk about apples and hand grenades when it comes to recruiting rankings? And the hype?
Mm-hmm. And my eyes told me Ohio State against us was quite the talent discrepancy.
And I believe that. And Billy Devaney's right on with, you know, you look at the Jimmys and the Joes on the field. That a guy in Curtis Samuel could not be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
They got the ball to him, and it was over. And there was nobody to check Samuel, nobody to get after Barrett to force him into a bad play so it couldn't get to Samuel. And then from a secondary standpoint, when it comes to Hooker and Latimer, they're awesome.
Oh, yeah. Incredible talent down in there at Ohio State, and it showed that night. I mean, just Nebraska couldn't keep up with them, so, and especially once Tommy got hurt. But even then, you weren't going to win that game that night.
No, but this all comes back to the T word and talent and measuring that, right? So you measure talent by, you have recruiting rankings coming in, you have NFL combine or making the roster or practice squad going out. Now, are you freaking out that Nebraska has two invites to the combine? No, it's capped off. I mean, you're shaking your head side to side. Kinda. That seems a little low based on the number of kids coming out that are good football players.
Mm-hmm.
In the same sense, the NFL is really picky.
They only allow 350 guys, correct?
It's 350. And then there's also the Patriot way, where you can go play lacrosse or be a quarterback in the MAC, and they'll find a spot for you on the roster.
Yep.
So New England's way trumps everything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about your measurables. They care about your buy-in and where your niche will be exploited awesomely against an opponent. Danny Woodhead.
Yep.
So I look at talent here in this discussion here about Nebraska, and I think Nebraska has enough talent, I agree, to win the West. They have more high-profile guys than Minnesota. Yeah. Have they always been tougher than Minnesota? No. They have more talent and high-profile guys than Iowa? On paper, yeah. Have they been tougher than Iowa? No.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Wisconsin, they were right there the last 2 years with the team that's won the West.
Yeah, that's a great point. You have enough talent to win the Big Ten West. You should be able to do that 3 or 4 out of 5 years every year doing that. But do you have the talent to win the Big Ten Conference as a whole? Do you have the talent to get to the Final Four of college football every year? That you do not have.
You don't have that yet, but it only takes one.
Yep.
It takes one win, but first you got to get there. And Vogue's pointed this out, and I hate to say it publicly, again, but you're 1-5 the last 3 years against Wisconsin and Iowa. 1-5. That's an automatic third place, assuming Northwestern doesn't bite you.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming Minnesota doesn't bite you. So what it comes down to is development. Are you getting guys here that can play ball, and are they leaving better than you found them or received them? You ask any good coach, when he sees he's got a stud, they'll tell you, my job is to not screw them up. If he's elite, if he's great, if he's Von Miller, if he's John Elway, then there are dudes like J.J. Watt that with coaching and personal accountability become phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
If you get that right combination, you're too slow, you're too short, you're not big enough, we'll take you. We'll work it out together. There you go. So it really comes down to development, right? You're going to get a kid that projects to be able to play in the NFL based on size and speed. Or you see something in him, motor, heart, give a damn, whatever, that is translatable, that he'll outwork the other guy.
Or what I think we talked about last week with Vogel was, you know, you're going to get the occasional 4 stars. You might even get a 5 star. But developing those 3 stars is what's really key. You got to develop those 3 star guys because that comprises most of your roster.
Those are the guys that have a chance to be great if it all hits, mm-hmm. or enough of it hits. So let's talk development for a second. Can they get bigger, stronger, faster? Yeah.
For sure.
That's physical. The mental side helps the physical side. You got to watch film. You got to stay extra and watch film. What's this left tackle's tendency on 3rd and 8? Well, he's going to pass block you. Where's his strength? Where's his weakness? This is how you win on 3rd and 8, and it's 4 minutes left. You need to stop. What else? Spotlight and stage. That's the biggest part. Nebraska was going to get beat by Ohio State because Ohio State had more talent. It didn't need to turn into 62-3.
No.
Okay? That's why everyone's pissed, and you're still upset. Okay? Same with Iowa. You can get beat by Iowa and Iowa City and be upset about it, but it didn't need to be 40-10. That's the point. Stage and spotlight. That's the part of this development thing that it needs to happen. Guys are going to get bigger, stronger, faster. No doubt. Guys will spend time better. Or need to, if it's the appropriate culture, spend extra time in the film world. But the real part of this development here is the atmosphere. You got to trust in your coach that he's telling you what to do and it's going to work. The players got to buy into that. And you got to have depth. You got to have development. And then there's got to be this belief that the technique they're spending time on and that the coaches also from a teaching standpoint are getting across what you need to understand. And then everybody's got to win a big game, okay? There's got to be belief, and it's got to happen because you had belief. You had something extra against Wisconsin, and then that thing went out the door big time. I hate continuing to reference Wisconsin, but that was your peak, okay? And when we talk talent on the field and NFL invites and recruiting and, you know, how much talent does Nebraska have? It has enough to win the West, absolutely, on paper and on the field. But that has not translated for 5 years. So you have this spotlight and stage. That's the next hump, is you beat Wisconsin, you beat Iowa. You do it convincingly, you do it in a tight game, whatever. You about did it twice. Last couple of years against Whiskey. But the next step is, okay, you hung there with Ohio. Or the next step is to be in it with Ohio State when it matters. And it's only going to happen with all these things in development. Hail Varsity continues.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're doing all right. Enjoy the weather in eastern Nebraska. Hopefully it's nice around the state where you can hear Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, your chance coming up at the premium subscription to HailVarsity.com. 6 month subscription. We'll give that away in a while. Lars Anderson on the way. Rick Pizzo coming up. The historian, the author, a Hall of Famer. And 39 years and counting of Nebraska coverage. Mike Babcock with us of Hail Varsity at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, do you have some sunscreen on? How are you?
Yeah, typical mid-February day. I think
more times than not, you get about a 3 to 7 day spurt of 60 to 70 tees, don't you, in February?
Yeah, and then, but I don't want to put my snow shovel away, right?
No, you can't. It doesn't let you.
And the ice melt. I got it all ready. It's all right by the door there.
So you've got the sunscreen and shades next to the shovel and ice melt.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, that sounds all right to me. Tell me about Tempe and Nebraska baseball. You know what, Rabbers? You look at this roster and lineup and some of the returning brass on there. I think you got to be pretty excited. I know Big Ten folks think Nebraska's the third team in the league, a chance for the league to get four bids, maybe five. A lot of season ahead, obviously. But how good do you feel about this team? How good should you feel about this team if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, expectation-wise, heading forward?
Well, I think you should have fairly high expectations because, you know, this team now, obviously at tournament time a year ago, things sort of went south on the Huskers, literally, I guess. Mm-hmm. Clemson, they're 0-2 in the Big Ten tournament, 0-2 in the regional. Offensively, really was the problem. And, you know, part of that was that you didn't have Scott Schreiber in the lineup because of back issues and so forth. But, you know, you have a strong core of guys coming back. I mean, you've got your late season starters all return. You've got a couple of holes to fill on the left side of the infield. You've got experience just about everywhere else. And I think there's a lot of reason to feel good about this team. I'm interested to see even some of the young pitchers. Paul Tillotson, a true freshman, is slated to start the second game of the doubleheader tomorrow. Connor Curry, Lincoln kid, talked highly of him. I mean, conceivably, Tillotson and Curry could be the midweek starters. So, based on what's coming back and the guys that have come into the system, Alex Rayburn is eligible now. He's a senior, but he played at North Carolina. He was hurt last year, has relatives in the state. Probably he's going to start at shortstop tomorrow, but he can play third base as well. Everything that Darren Erstad has said about the team, I think there's reason for optimism.
Mike Babcock with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine, at MD Babs on Twitter. The guy I really like watching, and I know he's a junior, and he hits it and he throws it and catches it on centers, Jake Myers, and his attitude and leadership is going to kind of drive this team, don't you think? I mean, just because guys respect him so much, but he also kind of provides that bravado, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he obviously, and now he's going to move into center field where they lost Ryan Poole. He's going to be the leadoff hitter. He does both pitching and hitting. Had a tremendous year pitching last year as well. By the end of the season, earned run average under two. I think he, obviously, he leads by example, and he's a very competitive guy. And you get the same thing, you know, Ben Miller is going to do a little bit of both. I mean, he's going to pitch, DH, play some first base. Luis Alvarado, it sounds like they're going to give him a shot as a pitcher when he's not in. He's going to be probably the regular left fielder. But they're going to look at him as a pitcher. That's pretty unusual that you would have guys that would do both. That's what's remarkable about Jake Myers, you know, a third-team preseason All-American, according to three different services, as a utility player. So you've got Darren Erstad said that, you know, the approach now is to get the best guys as many bats as you can. So they're going to go into this opening series with Myers leading off and Schreiber batting second and Miller batting third. So you want to get those guys as many at-bats as you can. And the same thing is going to be when they get them stretched out as they get down, as it gets closer to the conference season, the pitching the same way. They want to get the best arms out there and use maximize their ability. So, when you mentioned Jake Myers, obviously you're mentioning both offensively and on the mound.
No, he's been incredible. Mike Wilkening's going to be your catcher. He had a number of starts last year. Kind of got coached up by Fish, obviously. I look at how important that catcher spot is. How's Nebraska feeling about that?
I think they feel good about it. I mean, he split time with Taylor Fish last year. I think he started 30 games, and Fish started 33, or you know what, however that breaks down. A couple of instances he DH'd. I think they feel really good about it. He's got a lot of energy. He had about 270 last year. He kind of tailed off a little bit at the end of the year, but they feel good about, you know, you make a big leap, I guess, from the freshman year to sophomore year even, and he was out there catching as a freshman, but controlling the pitchers, controlling the pace of the game, understanding those kinds of things, he's much better at it. He said he's 100% more comfortable than he was a year ago, knowing what to do defensively, and then you know, also at the plate. It was kind of funny, he talked about Erstad talked a little bit about teaching guys how to breathe, you know, not hyperventilate.
Right.
And Wilkening said he remembered his first at bat last year. He went up there and took three strikes and walked back to the dugout. I was like, oh, this is a little bit different. But you know, he settled down and he's really an energetic guy. I mean, he talks fast. He's got a lot of energy, and I think he'll be good. And then Brady Childs probably do some catching as well. So I think they feel good about what they have there with Will Cunningham. He's going to be the, at least to start the season, he's going to be the four-hole hitter.
Babers, about 3 minutes here. What if he could, there's 100 different reasons, but what are some main thoughts on what's kept Nebraska from being better?
You know, I think, well, this isn't really great insight here, but I think the Big Ten is actually better than I thought it was going to be when Nebraska made the transition to the Big Ten.
Okay.
In other words, going into the Big Ten, the baseball team, I thought, well, Nebraska is just going to step right in and dominate this conference. And I think because Nebraska had the tradition of success or the competitiveness that it had shown in the Big 12 and before that, I think that the Big Ten, when Nebraska joined it, the Big Ten programs that had not invested in their baseball teams, I think they began to do that. I think you're seeing more of that now, and that some of that is the result of Nebraska's joining the conference, I think. And then, of course, obviously, with Maryland picked to win the conference, mm-hmm. there's a Maryland and Rutgers come into it. And so I just think that the conference, the mindset in the conference is different now than it was just when Nebraska joined the Big Ten. It's much more competitive, and I think you're going to see that reflected more in the postseason than maybe in the past.
Vogues put together a really good hot reads. Babers, while we got you, I want to get your response to the talent question here and combine and recruiting rankings and development. What do you think of Nebraska's talent level, and how do you judge talent level? Is it wins? Is it guys making plays to get those wins? Is it guys headed to the league or the I guess the stars to their name in front of their name before they get here? You got about 90 seconds.
You know, there's elements of all that, Smitty, but the thing for me is, you know, the important thing is the development part of it and having a system and recruiting to that system and getting guys that fit your system and guys who are comfortable in this culture. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit different because we're in the middle of the country and you got to go coast to coast in your recruiting, but you also have that 500-mile radius and you got to get the local guys. But you've got to be able to develop those guys and you've got to have a clear-cut system. That's why I think it's going to be difficult for Nebraska this year because we're going to have a new offense and they're going to have a new defense. And it's an offense that Riley and his staff is more comfortable with, but they adjusted because they had Tommy Armstrong Jr. and he did different kinds of things. Now they've had a couple seasons to recruit to their system. Defensively, same way, whole new system. So I think that's a really important part of it is the development of players within a clear-cut system that you've recruited for. That's the key.
So all the pieces line up. I mean, it makes a ton of sense if you can get it done. And we'll see how Nebraska moves forward. It's going to be a great spring of intrigue for Nebraska football, and we'll see what Nebraska baseball can do. Can read Mike Babcock, of course, with Hail Varsity, HailVarsity.com, Hail Varsity Magazine. Great write-up on Husker baseball, and Babers will be giving you reaction all year long on Coach Erstad and the Nebraska baseball team. Babers, thanks for jumping on, man. It was great to catch up and talk today. Enjoy that weather and keep that snow shovel next to you, okay?
It's laying right there, ready to roll.
It's just hanging right there, just hanging out, watching and waiting. Babers, take care, bud. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Smitty.
All right, there he is, Mike Babcock with us on Hail Varsity Radio. I want to remind you about seatbelts. You make that quick trip to the store and climb into the driver's seat. You start the car, the seatbelt indicator blinks and sounds. You say, I don't need it. Well, you're not the only one who suffers if you get in that accident. Family, friends, coworkers suffer if you're injured or killed. Click it or ticket. Do it now. Reduce injuries. This message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Big thanks to Mike Babcock, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Good stuff from Babers. Read his baseball preview. Coming up, Lars Anderson, 20 minutes. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. A lot of talent gap discussion. I'm not recycling, no. It's Billy Devaney's comments that he made to Journal Star and World Herald. Chris has been hanging on the line to talk about the talent discussion. Chris, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. The one word that I think you guys have been missing, both you and Babcock, is depth. While I think that we share the same talent level as the teams in the West, I think they have more talented players than we do. We just lack the depth. And I think, but that goes back to what you both said, and that's developing those players. I believe that's where the depth comes from.
Depth of talent. And think about this too, Chris, and thanks for bringing up the depth part, that the more good players you can get, the more you can run out there, and the more waves, so to speak, you can run out there against the Ohio States or against the Iowas or the Tennessees or whoever. Think about this, too. When you practice against really good people, having that on your own roster, not just sending it against who you're playing, but kind of iron sharpening iron, so to speak, on the practice field. I mean, you're right about more really high-level guys. That's a great point.
Being able to absorb an injury to one of your key players, where I think we've kind of had some guys get hurt, and the next man up wasn't as talented because we didn't have that depth. So,
well, the drop off is more of the issue. You have a guy that's capable, but it's nowhere near the same talent level. Amir goes down. Who's behind Amir? Someone that's pretty good and can play D1 ball, but he ain't Amir. You know?
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Now, depths, it's huge. And I look at the depth and the talent discussion and the development part of it. I look at guys, and let's talk defensive line for a minute. Okay, we'll get to basketball, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at the defensive line last year, and what'd you have? You had guys that were kind of Ironmen, specifically on the defensive end. I mean, you had Desiris and Freedom, who were behind them. Well, you know who was listed behind in the depth chart? You had Neil, you had Alex, you had Cedric, and you have Nat. I mean, you have guys that are D1 scholarship good, but where are they at in their development? Who are behind Drago and Kevin Maurice? They had two Davis kids that were really good. And you saw them get enough trust to get more snaps. You did. And that's what it is your second option at the middle part of the year was a guy like Carlos Davis, or he was even a co-1 option. Okay? And he came in and you saw what he did in a good situation before half. Again, thinking specifically against Wisconsin. What happens? Worst case scenario, they hit you on a big play. What happened is they end up going to recess up by a touchdown. Why? Part of that is because on third down, Carlos killed their left guard, went back, and stuck the quarterback. That's that depth and talent at one spot at defensive tackle. The other part of this, too, is guys just got to make plays. You just got to go make a play. I'm not talking be Superman and Nate Gary and get two interceptions in the third quarter, sticking with the Wisconsin game theme. But if you have a chance to make a catch against Ohio State, make the catch. You got a chance on 3rd and 8 on a blitz that gets home to make a tackle? Make a tackle. If you got a chance on 3rd and 8 to stop a run play that goes for 40, I'm talking Wisconsin, where they kill you. They killed you on 3rd and 8 running the football or passing down situations with their 3rd down back. Make a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't angry guy who lost money on Nebraska. No. I'm just talking about eventually it kind of comes down to dudes doing their thing and executing. It's the other part of this. But Babers is 1,000% right with you have your identity, and you have a fit with that identity, and you recruit to that identity,
mm-hmm.
that system.
Well, you brought up the D line. How about you bring up the offensive line this year? That was quite a struggle. But
that's the polar opposite of. Of what?
Where's the development of Decker and those guys behind them? Why aren't they getting ready? You know.
Well, who's to say they're not getting opportunities, and
blowing them, and just not being ready? Yeah.
Well, it comes down to you got to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the playbook. Here's the scheme. Here's the reps. Why? I have no answer for you with Barnett and Decker. Okay, I do mm-hmm. not. I know that Whitaker was rushed off of knee surgery. He wasn't rushed. He was cleared. My point is guys playing for you as a reserve. I don't know why guys they look the part.
Jalen Barnett.
Well, you have Barnett. You have
Neville.
Decker. You have Neville. And you have guys like Foster that are really talented go down. You have guys like Neville that's the world wants and wanted at a tackle. And I think he's a good dude, and I think he can play ball, but just whatever, didn't happen. And then your guard spot and your center spot, I mean, Hahn was there giving it his all. But it's
a walk-on guy. We pride ourselves on walk-ons, but mm-hmm. eventually that's going to show its gap difference of talent when you face an Ohio State team.
Well, it depends on the walk-on. Is it Rudy or is it
Spencer Long?
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
but those only happen so often.
No, that's your bar you set for every walk-on to become.
Yeah, but not many will reach that, if at all.
I mean, is it Jano?
Again, I don't know if you can reach somebody like Jano either. I mean, those are two former walk-on guys who made themselves something in the NFL.
No, absolutely. But I think, let's go back to expectation for a second. There's an unfair expectation that any walk-on that gets in the game is going to be that diamond in the rough. God, look at Nebraska. They found another one. We're right.
Yeah.
You hear a walk-on, what runs through your head? What about you? But I think of Jared Tomich. I think of Makavickas. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think of best-case scenarios.
Yeah, Alex Henry.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you have enough linemen on scholarship with stars to their name that theoretically, there should have been options other than the walk-on kids. But to their credit, the walk-on kids were the ones kicking ass in practice and doing the job and gaining the trust. Didn't get a win against Ohio State.
No.
Either the 8-star or 4-star that's not in because he isn't performing, or the walk-on that just is outmatched. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time, hour one, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We'll get you chance to call in and qualify here for a 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com in a moment. Just to run down this table that Vogel put on his hot reads from NFL Combine, results.com from Scout. This is from when Nebraska got into the Big Ten 2011. I am old till now. Ohio State's put 45. Well, hold on. They put more than 45 into the league. They've had 45 combine invites. That's number one in the Big Ten. Number two is Sparty. That does not jive with their recruiting rankings, because when D'Antonio was building this thing, he's getting guys like Le'Veon and Connor Cook and Darquez Dennard, 2-star, 3-star guys that Mac schools and no one else either took a shot on or whatever. Don't know how guys that are that good or that good, or Connor, I said Connor Cook, but my point is they fell through the cracks, and he killed it. He absolutely killed it with guys like that. So Sparty's had 33 combine invites, Penn State with 31, Iowa with 30. Iowa develops like a machine, especially on the lines of scrimmage. Michigan's 29. Wisconsin at 28. Nebraska's 7th with 19. Rutgers at 8th behind Nebraska with 16. There's like three Rutgers dudes on every NFL roster.
There is.
They can be like 3 and 9, but it doesn't matter, because if you can talk a dude from the East Coast or from Jersey to play football, they're probably going to be awesome at it.
Yeah, they got some speedsters. Sanu, Carew.
Yeah. And Ray Rice, and just talking strictly on the field here.
Yeah.
Not after hours behavior. Illinois. I mean, when Zucker was there, dude had talent.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't coach it, but, you know. So it's a gray area you're fighting for. Great, and you nailed it, that right three-star. Get that Prince Amukamara. It's just great athlete, very coachable, gets his techniques down, and then dominates you.
Yep, make him turn into a 4 or 5-star.
Mm-hmm. You know, develop him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's, you know, in Nebraska's corner right now. Go get that development game going. Caller 6 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 800-825-5865. Caller 6, now a 6-month premium online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. What's that get you? Well, an amazing Nebraska community, fan experience, access for all the sports you love, and inside information, recruiting analysis, up-to-the-minute breaking news. Premium content you can only get as an online subscriber to HailVarsity.com. Caller 6 right now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. 466-3776, 466-3776.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And let's get caught up with Lars Anderson, New York Times bestselling author, at Lars Anderson 71, Bleacher Report senior writer, SEC Network. And Lars, congrats to all the Nebraska fans and the folks at Hail Varsity, to you and your family, two more on the dinner table. How you doing, man?
Yeah, we are sleep deprived, but we're emerging. On the 25th of January, we had two little twin girls, Autumn and Farah, and mom was in a bit of a fight there, but she has emerged as well, and everybody's back home and just kind of recuperating, and it's been nice. I've had a little downtime from Bleacher Report to tend to the family, but now that everybody is sort of gaining strength, getting back into it, and certainly appreciate everybody's wishes when my wife April was going through some difficulty in the hospital. It was one of those things where social media really can do a great thing. And I literally heard from thousands of people. Didn't even realize I knew that many people. all around the country sending prayers April's way. And it was real heartwarming, and very much appreciated.
Lars, we love you, man, and we're glad things are going well, and just so happy for you and your family. Love the names. I love the names of your two little girls. That's awesome. Lars, it's been a while, and you've been busy, obviously. but last assignment you did with Bleacher was to go talk to Martellus Bennett, Motti, and a number of Patriots, and you looked at New England. You went in depth with the Patriots, and Brady and Belichick and the crew got number five. I know the Super Bowl's a couple, 3 weeks ago, but I'm sure you have a take on what they did on their comeback and just kind of their place in history right now as you see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as I was watching and everyone is watching the third quarter, the end of the third quarter, the fourth quarter overtime, I was sort of just struck with this overwhelming sense that Tom Brady's the greatest NFL player of all time, you know, and that was sort of like any lingering doubts were extinguished with that just amazing performance. Living in Birmingham, I'm real close to Atlanta, and know a lot of Falcons fans, and just the Atlanta sports fans have been through so much heartbreak over the years, especially with the Braves. It was just sort of, you know, just a big, big gut punch for them. And, you know, it's just, again, it was just sort of more evidence that we will never see another player like Brady, perhaps in our generation, or perhaps for another generation. He's just so clutch when it matters most. And also, you know, if you watch them closely, there was never this sense of panic, even when they are down 25 points and seemingly out of it, down 25 points facing a team that has a red-hot offense. Your defense is having trouble slowing them down. And so, just that calm and poise, and it's just something that really can't be taught. It's just sort of he's born with it. And it was interesting for me to be around him for that Patriots Way story. I'd never spent time around Brady before. And there is sort of like a geek factor to him. He's not just sort of Mr. Cool, you know. He's got a little bit of geek to him. He just played phenomenal. On the flip side of that, boy, Kyle Shanahan really dropped the ball, the offensive coordinator for Atlanta. All they got to do is just literally just take a knee. I mean, just run the ball in the fourth quarter, and they can salt that thing away. You got a field goal kicker who hasn't missed a kick 40 yards or less in like 2 years, and Kyle Shanahan decides to stay aggressive, and then, you know, Ryan takes a sack, then there's a penalty, and they get knocked out of field goal range, and then Dante Hightower, old friend of mine from Alabama, great linebacker for the Patriots, that has a strip sack of Ryan, and that just sort of changes everything. And, in a way, too, I think that Atlanta did as much to lose that game as the Patriots did to win that game. And I really want to write in about a month from now, a long retrospective piece on the Falcons, and not only just the team, but also their player or their fans, and how do you sort of move on from the biggest collapse in NFL history?
Well, you look at fan bases, Lars, and the Cubs kind of finally got theirs. You look at the Cleveland Browns, they've been suffering through just bad management. I saw something on social media this week where, might have been a couple, 3 days ago, where it was the 21st anniversary of Cleveland popping Belichick and telling him to get lost. And then there's the city of Atlanta, where Georgia Tech's been pretty good, not recently, but their overall history's there. The Braves, God, they went to the NLCS or the series every year, it seemed like, for 14 straight years and one title to call home. Dominique Wilkins was awesome, but the Hawks haven't been awesome for a while. They had a 60-win season not long ago, but didn't do much with it in the postseason. And then there's the Falcons, who they've been good. And they are built. They've been developed. They're there. It looks like for the long haul, but that's not always a sure thing in the NFL. So I can't wait to read what you're going to be doing here with Atlanta and the city and their sports scene. Lars Anderson is with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Bleacher Report, New York Times bestselling author, SEC Network at Lars Anderson 71. I got to ask you here, speaking of trying to bounce back, your thoughts on what's going on down in Alabama. They need a new offensive coordinator. It looks like Saban might be close to that. Sark heads off to Atlanta to be their offensive coordinator. How do you expect Saban to respond? He's not had to deal with losing a title game in college before. That's months ago, I realize, but spring ball's just around the corner.
Yeah, I know that Saban felt burned by Sarkisian. He stuck his neck out on the line for the guy, and bringing him in last year after his public flame out at USC, and really sort of offered him a hand when no one else was willing to do that, and then for him to be on the job for about a week and then leave for Atlanta to take the offensive coordinator reins there, I know that privately Nick Saban is fuming about that. And now, really, what Saban is most concerned about is the continued development of Jalen Hurts at quarterback. So he looks like he's going to bring in the guy from the Patriots. And the thing with Jalen, and I think we've discussed this before, when Lane Kiffin was the offensive coordinator, Lane would read the defense as Jalen was at the line of scrimmage, and he would whistle over once he figured out where he wanted Jalen to go with the ball. And Lane has this very distinctive high-pitched whistle that you can hear it in the stands. And Jalen would look over, and Lane would literally tell him where to throw the ball. And now Hurts doesn't have that security blanket anymore. You certainly saw in the national championship game, he was not effective throwing the ball whatsoever. And so now I think the real goal is, for Hurts from year one to year two as the starter, is to be able to go from your first read, and this is what he did with Lane. If the first read's not there, but it often was because Lane told him where it was going to be, and Lane knew, based upon how the defense lined up, where the most vulnerable spot of the defense was going to be for that particular play, so Lane would tell him where to go. But Jalen never progressed to his second read. It was look at the first read, if it's not there, run. And so I think, you know, the big goal for year two is for Jalen to be able to feel more comfortable in the pocket and make that throw on, to get that throw to the second read on when it's a third and seven in a critical game. And that was the whole thing. All year long for Alabama, opposing defenses wanted to keep Alabama close and force Jalen Hurts to beat them and cover that first guy who Jalen was going to look to. And that's exactly what Clemson did, and Jalen Hurts said it showed he couldn't do it. It was still a very close game. Obviously, it came down the last play. But, look, in Alabama, like, people just think, you know, the dynasty is over and all of this. And people want Jalen they want to move Jalen Hurts to wide receiver, all this utter nonsense. The kid, as an 18-year-old, was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. But I do think that the primary task of that coordinator won't necessarily be play calling, because now Nick knows exactly what kind of offense he wants, and it will be a replica of what you saw last year. But the primary responsibility will be the continued development of Jalen Hurts. And also just with the wide receivers and you know, that Alabama won another recruiting national title by all accounts. I think they have 7 5-stars coming in. So it's just, it's going to be more of the same. And with the rest of the SEC kind of down, I think it'll be sort of Alabama and everybody else in the SEC next year. One team to look out for, obviously, is Auburn. They've had a really good, I think, last few months, and a lot of people feel that Auburn could be back at that elite level as well in the SEC.
Lars, let's talk about talent level. Nebraska's general manager, as we kind of refer to him as a director of player personnel, Billy Devaney, an NFL guy. You probably bumped into him a time or two, a longtime NFL guy. He's at Nebraska now, and he's been at Nebraska, and he spoke to the local press a couple of days ago, and the issue of talent level came up, and he thought Nebraska's talent level was better than every opponent they faced, with the exception of Ohio State. There were some areas, obviously, Tennessee had better talent at, but Nebraska shouldn't have gotten beat based on talent like they did. I wanted to get your take here. How do you judge a college football program's level of talent. Obviously, translating to wins is the answer, but is it incoming recruits, or is it guys going to the NFL combine, those kids you got in, developed, and sent on to the NFL? It's a tough question, but what's your theory? How do you look at it?
Well, for years, I used to bash recruiting rankings because I just absolutely did not believe in them. And I would go back to, you know, Nebraska of the mid-90s when they would have recruiting rankings consistently in the 15 to 35 range, mm-hmm. and Nebraska won 3 out of 4 national titles. However, the guys who do those rankings have become much more sophisticated in their approach. And if you look at it now closely, there actually is a correlation between recruiting rankings and where you end up finishing, you know, 3 years later in the polls. But I do also think you need to look, and this is what's important for Nebraska, is player development, is developing those mid and high 3 stars into almost 5-star kind of players. And that's where you'd see that turn up on for the invitations to the scouting combine. And again, I think to make that assessment that Nebraska's talent is on the same level as or higher than everybody on their schedule last year is a bit too rosy or a bit too optimistic, I think, for most people who look at it with a sort of cold, critical eye. Certainly, Iowa just absolutely blew Nebraska off the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I mean, maybe I guess you could say that was a lack of heart, but man, those looked like two teams that were going wildly in opposite directions. And then Nebraska's really never in the Tennessee game, to be honest. You know, the Tennessee just had far more superior athletes just up and down the field than Nebraska. I mean, maybe things would have been different if Tommy Armstrong would have played. You know, who knows? I doubt it. Nebraska couldn't find anybody to block Derek Barnett, who's going to be probably a top 15 pick defensive end from Tennessee. He just simply had his way, just ate Nebraska's lunch on the offensive line. So I don't necessarily agree with that assessment. But that being said, I think the time for excuses will be over after this year, and we'll get a real sense of how Riley and company are doing at Nebraska now that their system's been fully implemented. They got the quarterback they want. They've recruited offensive linemen, skill position players that they want. And so, you know, and now switching defenses from 4-3 to 3-4. This is all orchestrated by Riley. And, you know, for better or worse, I think there will be an accounting of his performance at the end of the season.
Last second here, Lars, are you a 3-4 guy? I mean, you've been around both defenses. You've seen it win. Do you like Nebraska's shift? I don't think I've ever asked you.
Yeah, no, I've always been a 4-3 person, but it might make sense to just get an extra speedy linebacker mm-hmm. on the field if that's how they feel they can do it, or even almost like to play a 3-3 and add another safety, play a 3-3-5. You know, I think it's more a reaction to just the new realities of spread offenses and just how college football is evolving than sort of, you know, all of this. You're not going to play like a 5-2, right, like Nebraska did in the old Big 8. So I think at this point, any change is probably positive at Nebraska, and may as well take a swing for the fence. And I think that's what this move is.
Lars Anderson with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Lars Anderson 71 on Twitter. Follow him, read him. He'll have a great piece coming up on the Bleacher Report down the road. Lars, take care, man. Great to talk with you.
All right, thanks, buddy.
There he is, Lars Anderson. Good to get caught up with him. Happy that his family is healthy now and things are going better. Good to get caught up with Lars Anderson. Rick Pizzo is up next, Big Ten Buffet. Rick Heyman down the road for you at Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamonds. Go see Rick in that 1 carat diamond. $100 a month. Can log on today, SauterHeyman.com. Limited time offer with approved credit.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten buffet time, couple days late, but we appreciate him. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Mr. Rick, busy week for you. How you doing, man?
Things are well. I'm glad that you are back up at about 100% or 110, as I know you usually go in the Schmitty world.
You're too kind. Yeah, I got to watch a lot of BTN and Netflix with the flu bug, and flu bug's still undefeated. I will just say that.
All time.
Let me ask you this. What a week it's been in Big Ten basketball circles, and I want to start last night with Maryland's win at Northwestern. The atmosphere was nuts, and Mello found a way to get it handled. Rick, what's the ceiling on this Maryland team? How hot can they get before the tournament?
Boy, if Mello Trimble plays anything like he played last night, they are one of the toughest teams to beat in the country. You just have to look at their road record. They're 7-1 on the road. That's true road games this year with three freshmen playing major minutes. And I know at this point in the season, you could bring that old adage up, hey, by February, nobody's a freshman. But they are, because they've never played this long, this intense, against this kind of competition at any point in their lives. So to see not just Mello Trimble do what he did last night, but to see Anthony Cowan continue to play the way that he has played, to see Justin Jackson hit big shots, to see Kevin Huerter, when he's having a bad offensive night, do what he did defensively to just shut down Northwestern and Brian McIntosh. I'm telling you right now, I've said it all along, I think this Maryland team may be the second most dangerous team in the Big Ten, and right now, I don't think there's any doubt that Purdue is the only team that clearly scares opponents more than Maryland.
Maryland's playing great. Purdue's a beast. How about Wisconsin? No caning tonight at Michigan. Do you think Wisconsin's won a ton of close games? They fell, obviously, at home to Northwestern. Great win for Northwestern. But do you see Wisconsin teetering, or do you think they're going to bounce back tonight?
You know, they have some offensive issues. I'm going to be honest with you. When Ethan Happ gets shut down in the last two games, especially on Sunday, Northwestern did a wonderful job, great game plan against Wisconsin's bigs, and you force the Badgers to take outside shots, they struggle. And your counter would be, but Bronson Koenig hits a lot of big shots. He does, but the offense flows from the inside to out, and he gets good looks. When he's not getting great looks, he really struggles. And the calf injury played into his 1-of-8 performance, no doubt about it, against Northwestern. Over the last 3 weeks since he hurt that calf, he's only shooting about 25%. And if he cannot knock down the jumper on a consistent basis, then it's that chicken or the egg. Which is going to come first? Ethan Happ falling off or the outside falling off? And over the last couple of games, it's actually happened at the same time. And even all the way back to the end of January, when they got very lucky to beat Rutgers in overtime because Happ had that singular performance. This is a team that has a lot to figure out offensively. Always going to have the defense, but I'm not sure I believe in them enough offensively right now to consider them a team that can go further than right now. I think I'd say the Sweet 16.
That sounds about right when you look at how they're playing right now, the injury situation, and they've just been cold, but to their credit, they found ways to win a ton of close games. We'll see how things shake out tonight. How far away is Michigan from beyond the bubble talk? What do they got to do?
They're still clearly on the bubble. I mean, a win tonight helps a lot. Yeah. And someone asked me, well, will it count against them that Bronson Koenig doesn't play? I don't think so. I think it may help Wisconsin with the committee. I don't think it would take anything away from a Michigan win over Wisconsin. I mean, Koenig was not himself on Sunday, and no one's talking about that win not being huge for Northwestern. So Michigan needs a couple more quality W's. If they get a win against Wisconsin, and that is one. They also still have a game on the road against Northwestern last week of the season. That would be an opportunity for another. I don't think that Michigan is one of the last four in, but they're very close. To me, they are clearly on the bubble, but also clearly on the right side of the bubble today.
Is Minnesota safe?
Minnesota's completely safe. I think last night was a huge win for them. Unless they crater, when you look at their RPI, when you look at their non-conference, and when you look at in-conference, the teams that they've beaten them and where they've beaten them, they beat Purdue on the road, they beat Northwestern, a team they could be competing for a spot against on the road. Minnesota's safe to me unless something dramatic happens over the last couple of weeks.
We're going to spin the wheel, and time to predict Nebraska basketball, Rick. It's spinning now. What do you think it lands on against Ohio State?
I like their matchup against Ohio State. I really do. I think the Buckeyes are a team that is in a bit of disarray that we continue to wait. Can they figure it out? And they never did. I think it's really important, Chris, really important for Nebraska to get to 500 or better, because then it gives the NIT committee a legitimate question. You have a fan base that is dying to watch postseason basketball. You have a great place to host a first-round NIT game, and you're almost going to guarantee a sellout. That's what the NIT wants to build its brand, but Nebraska has to do its part and get to 500 and then hope that the committee is impressed enough by what they've done in the past and that what they can do in terms of putting fannies in the seats and building that NIT brand. I don't think you can overstate how important it is for Nebraska to get more games for the young guys in that postseason environment looking forward to the near future.
You know, this team's been a lot of fun to watch. They've also been heartbreaking to watch if you're a Nebraska basketball fan, but kind of nice to see them just do their thing and kind of put it to somebody. There was a lot of trepidation going in with, are you still going to pay attention to Nebraska basketball as much as you've paid attention to them based on that outcome, Penn State, just kind of thinking how and the pulse of the fan base. And, you know, folks were smiling after that win.
Yeah, and I think it was a very big win because of the way that they played. There's a victory, and then there's a victory that makes you open your eyes and say, okay, that was a game that maybe we were supposed to win, but boy, did we play really well. And those are the kind of wins that can spark you over the last couple of weeks when you know that there's something still at stake. Those are the kind of wins you look back on, you watch film. Tim Miles says, look at this. Look at how hard we played. Look at how well we ran our offense, and watch how you guys defended. That's what you need to do over this next stretch for us to continue to play after we make the trip to D.C. I think it's a huge win. It's not a win that's going to resonate. It's not a win that's going to build your resume, but it's a win that can build confidence. And sometimes for a team like Nebraska, that's even more important than building your resume.
Kind of go do what you're supposed to do at home. Exactly.
Yep.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A couple more minutes. Nebraska has two players invited to the NFL Scouting Combine, Gary Seeth and Carter. Do you step back at that number? Is that about right? Is it, you know, what's your reaction to that when you think of Nebraska football and guys going to the league?
Well, you have to remember, too, that the Combine is not just going to invite guys based on their stats. They're going to invite them based on a combination of stats, their physicality, what they think they can do in that meat market that is the NFL Combine. You know, it's that NFL beauty pageant. How fast are you? How strong are you? The most ridiculous, how many times can you bench press 225 pounds in a sitting, which means absolutely nothing on the football field. But the NFL wants to invite guys who are going to impress the people that are attending the NFL Combine. Carter fits that entire bill. Nate Gary fits that entire bill. And so you wonder about some guys who put up huge numbers at Nebraska. What about a Tommy Armstrong? What about a Jordan Westerkamp? I don't think Westy fits that bill because of his size and because of what he would project to be at the next level. And Tommy just made too many mistakes. I mean, outside of that, what guys are you really talking about when you look back at a team that over the last couple of years did not really dominate anybody inside the conference? I think it's a little bit disappointing to just see two, but I think it's completely warranted.
What do you think, though, of Nebraska's talent level? And this is something that the NFL Combine obviously looks at the guys, and you laid out perfectly what they look into. Gentle Starr spoke with Billy Devaney, the executive director of player personnel, about Nebraska's talent. His thoughts: it wasn't a concern. Talent level, not a concern coming into the season. And the only game throughout the year that was a concern when you look at talent versus talent on the field was Ohio State. Do you agree with that?
I'm not so sure that I do. I think that if you are legitimately going to size up your entire roster and go talent v. talent based on what you have versus the rest of the Big Ten, Nebraska, to me, does not match up with Ohio State. I agree with that. I don't think they match up with Michigan. They may next year, but not this past year when Michigan's senior class was loaded with talent. I don't think they matched up athletically with Penn State this past year. Not when you look at what Penn State had and guys like Chris Godwin and Saquon Barkley and Garrett Sickles and guys who got hurt and tremendous players in their defensive backfield. I mean, I think there are other programs that you're mirroring much more so than those three programs. Listen, sometimes when you're in certain positions at schools, when you're in a certain position on a team, you have to say and you have to do the right things. And I'm not saying that Devaney was being completely political here, because maybe in his heart of hearts, he believes that Nebraska is as talented as any team but Ohio State. I think you just have to look back at the recruiting rankings, though, of the last 4 to 5 years and say that that simply can't be the case.
Rick Pizzo with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Rick, last thought, if there were a BTN combine, who wins the 40, who wins the bench, who wins the vert?
Well, if we're taking former athletes into account, right, then the vert is up for grabs, man, because, you know, I know Stephen Bardo played a long time ago, but my man is some 6'6", 6'7". He's still lanky and smooth. You know, he can get up there and go after it. The 40-yard dash is a total wild card. I mean, it depends. I think Mike Hall, Dave Revson, and myself probably have similar speed, but it also depends on who's chasing us, you know, who really wants to get away. You know, as far as the bench press goes, I mean, I'll give myself the nod, unless you're throwing Howard Griffith in the mix. Because if you're throwing Howard in there, I mean, nobody else should even compete in the event.
Well, where's Jerry fit in?
You know, he's going to be a really good coach. I think he's shown that he has the leadership abilities. I'm not so sure that at this point, when he's spending the majority of his days down in Florida fishing and chilling out on the boat, that he's exactly in combine-type shape. He'll get there for spring ball, but not in the middle of February.
There's Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, and your BTN Combine Breakdown. At BTN, Rick Pizzo. Rick, always a pleasure. We'll catch up again, man. Thanks for a few minutes.
Schmitty, that was fun, man. Thank you.
Okay, so the question is who couldn't beat Jerry in the 40-yard dash? Just wondering. Jerry'd beat me in the 40-yard dash. I would give him that. KG, here's your breakdown. If you wanted the BTN, the Big Ten Network, NFL Combine, translation, who would win what? Pizzo just gave it to you. We'll talk some Husker hoops coming up as we are winding down a Thursday on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And she may be still unwinding from that thriller in overtime where the Jayhawks prevailed over Huggy Bear. She might be in a hot tub still unwinding. Deb the Spa Lady is back with us, back from Mexico. And Deb, how'd your Jayhawks do that? My Lord.
I don't know. Unbelievable. I really did. Oh, I just couldn't believe it. And then Dick Vitale said, how come you guys are leaving, you great Jayhawk fans?
He had a great question.
Stay here and watch these kids.
Well.
Oh, that was so good. But you're right. I did. I could not believe
you needed the
I was
soak.
So wound up.
You needed the soak, didn't you?
That's right. Needed to unwind and relax. And, you know, coming back, well, we had done the Lincoln and Omaha home shows
right
last weekend, and I missed those because we won the trip to Puerto Vallarta through Master Spas because we were one of the top 10 dealers. So, of course, you know, we had to go. And so when we get back, I have missed the home shows. And you know how I love to talk.
Oh, yeah.
I really did. I just missed them. So I've decided I'm going to keep the specials going through Saturday
Ooh.
This week so I can keep talking.
Well, Deb, that's so kind of you. You go to Mexico and Puerto Vallarta, by the way, and then you're just going to extend the deal. Okay, so they got to come
right.
See Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. If you're outside of Lincoln, Deb will be there for you. And you can also log on spasonline.com. But go see Deb. She's extending the deal. That's phenomenal. Now, what type of deal we talk, and I'm sure it's good.
Well, we've got all kinds of great home show deals. We had bought, we ordered a truckload of spas. And so they are the most popular model we sell. We have marked them down. I think this one is about 1,000 off. Mm. So we're unloading that truck this Friday, and there are still just a few left that aren't sold. So you can still take advantage of the home show prices and get all the goodies with it at no charge. And we'll get it delivered here next week for you if you want. If you're ready that soon.
Do so. You might need it before the NCAA tournament if you're a Hoops fan. And, Deb, you'll be in one watching Baylor, Kansas, I assume.
Oh, you bet. That's at noon on Saturday.
Yep. So Deb will be in the spa and watch it kind of just chill her out a bit. It'll be a good one. Deb,
right.
You take care. You're awesome. And thanks for your time today.
Okay. Take care.
There
bye-bye.
There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, extending the deal for you through Saturday. I swear she'll have probably the Rock Chalk Jayhawk bathing suit on with the spa that has the TV watching Kansas Baylor.
Oh, yeah. Her being the owner, I bet she's got that hot tub, like, special tailored with KU, like, logos on it.
Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Okay, so Nebraska basketball Tuesday night. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
Face is painted.
Nope.
No?
No, never face paint, man.
Did you run out?
No. That's too far of like
sorry.
Fandom for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Getting trampled to death nearly isn't. Okay.
That was an experience. Oh, that's for sure.
So, note to self, when there's 20-plus years of angst of not going tournament time. I'm probably off on my math there, but we're close. And then rushing the court to celebrate. Doesn't scream bad idea. But no, you were a fan. You were caught up. No,
oh, yeah.
Sunday. It's okay. I'm judging for a second. But the face paint and the chest paint, whatever. Someday you'll get back into it. I got to ask you, were you nervous about the Penn State game, or are you at this point just say screw it, let's see what happens? Because I have been guilty of trying to read 1,000 different tea leaves per outcome with this team, just trying to get a pulse. And the bottom damn line has been this: they're just inconsistent.
Yeah, and so is Penn State. So that was kind of a
right, who just beat Maryland.
Yeah, a very hard game to predict. I think I predicted like a 2-point win for the Huskers, but even though this team's margin for error is very small, I still felt like they should have at least one conference win this year by 10 or 11 points. Mm-hmm. Like they should have been able to do
no,
that.
No, but it's in the NFL. No one's that even. It's not a field goal game.
Yeah.
Every game.
Yeah, for sure. And you finally got that 16-point victory over Penn State Tuesday, and now you get a chance to get revenge on Saturday. So that's going to be a welcome one from that wide-open layup you gave with 1 second left.
Man, if you go back, does that Ohio State game change things the rest of the season? If you could change a moment in time?
A little bit, because it's just a devastating loss, and you already knew Rutgers was gearing up for you because Rutgers had six days off, and you're coming off that crushing defeat. I think it kind of compiled, and that's why you ended up losing to Rutgers as well.
Because you get both of those, and I'm not talking NCAA, but I'm talking just Big Ten standing. And
well, you're 7-6. You get both of those.
Right, and yeah, you're 7-6, and you're closer to 500 or over 500.
Mm-hmm. And you get the one-point victory against Wisconsin, you're 8-5.
Mm-hmm. You're 8-5, and you're tied
for fourth in the conference.
But more likely NIT.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think what Rick just laid out there is like, hey, great pitch for Nebraska to get an NIT.
Oh,
if they can get to 500.
Yeah, I agree with everything he said. I think that place would be sold out, and with your strength of schedule, I don't see how the NIT would not look at you. But, of course, you have to be at least 500 or better to get into the NIT.
So my question about, we'll get more into Ohio State tomorrow here. I like how Nebraska matches up. Do you think they travel with this improvement? I mean, you've seen Jordy put a couple, three games together.
Yeah.
And Roby's my question mark. He's been kind of the spark for me. Mm-hmm. Nebraska's gotten going with him. His ankle's the question mark for me. But what he does for you defensively, blocking shots, how mobile he is. And the one thing is he doesn't, you're not going to back him down because he's 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
You could because he's not very heavy, but you're not going to shoot over
him. Yeah, you're not going to shoot over him because of his athleticism.
He's so mobile, and then he can get out and get on the run, and then that energy lift with his skywalk game, you know?
What matchup I'm looking forward to against Ohio State on Saturday is Jordy. A couple of games when we played Ohio State the first time, Ohio State has some players his size that are able to shoot from three-point range, so him trying to guard that was kind of a bit of a nightmare last time against Ohio State. And it still might be, although last game against Penn State, I thought he was much better against the pick and roll. So I think that has improved. And obviously you've seen him improve on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to see how he's going to defend those Ohio State players who are going to take him out on the perimeter a little bit.
Well, I mean, I think you keep Jordy as the lane monster.
Do you keep starting him over Ed?
Yeah.
Well, I think so too right now. Ed is just still too rusty, I think.
I think you just get Ed a few minutes when you can, and you let him go a lot of mileage. I think you get the efficiency angle from Ed. Get what you can out of him, as big time as he is, and he's an emotional lift. Then I think you go with Jacobson against this Ohio State situation where they can bomb away from the outside, but can also, they're more athletic to drive it. I like Jacobson better.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Roby for sure.
Yeah.
On that.
Hopefully he can go. We'll have to see tomorrow.
We'll see. We'll wind it down on Hail Varsity. On Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. Give us a follow. And we'll talk to you here shortly on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at JMore44 and TJ underscore Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, the weekend kicks off Thursdays for many of you. And I take my cues from TJ Henning, weekend-wise. So, what's TJ got going tonight?
Well,
there's got to be basketball to watch.
There is. I know I will be doing district finals tonight.
Oh, shot down!
On ESPN 1480. So
that's no indictment on those two teams playing.
It's, yeah, so
TJ's stuck here another 2 hours.
Yep, I will be here, yes, for a bit longer. So don't have much plans for that. Probably just watch some hoops when I get home.
Okay.
NBA All-Star Weekend is this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that, I guess.
Yeah, G-Unit's down in New Orleans.
Oh, I bet. That's right.
I had to text G-Unit when I was on my deathbed.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, G-Unit, what do you think of Charles Oakley? ... No comment.
You think he's going to sit next to Silver?
Actually, the thing that was cool is I asked him, what do you think of Oak? He's like, dude, he was a hell of he's a great rebounder for New York. Really taught Jordan some I mean, it was all positive.
Yeah.
It's like, that's always, not what I'm asking
always
about.
Is with Garth, though. I like that.
Yeah. He's going to be down there. Or is down there now. I don't know. It'd be kind of cool if he'd call in, but can't happen.
Yeah. I know you got Boston-Chicago on TNT tonight, and then you got Wisconsin-Michigan. Big Ten Network.
Yeah, no caning. Michigan is good enough offensively to probably play with most of the field that'll be in the NCAA tournament. They don't have a win at all. And I don't think you're going to get, this could be the last checkpoint, so to speak, on getting Wisconsin. I think if you're Northwestern and you got Wisconsin, good for you on the road. It's still a big time win for Michigan that needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not gonna. I think if Wisconsin loses on the road at Michigan tonight, even without caning, I think you'll get plenty of committee credit for that. But if Wisconsin keeps reeling, then it's gonna be. Well, to put it best, the most popular cheerleader.
Well, it's a little bit like Indiana right now. That win looked really good a long time ago, but now they have just fallen down. Injuries have hampered them for sure.
But I think you need to look at when you get it.
For sure. But Nebraska football, that win against Oregon, that seemed huge at the time. But now you're like, that wasn't that impressive.
Well, that also wasn't the highlight of the year. You think it was?
Win-wise?
Oh, yeah. And it was one of the most exciting. People were high-fiving.
That was like the only maybe home game I went to that year.
Of course, it's the only one worth going to.
I know. That's why I wanted to go to that one. And that place was electric. If you would have finished off Wisconsin, obviously that one, but...
Well, but I think... you just didn't have much to go off. I mean, the Minnesota game was pretty good. Minnesota was a 9-win football team.
Yeah, maybe that would be it.
Didn't feel... I know Oregon and Wisconsin, or Oregon and Minnesota, apples. I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Save that thought. Maybe hit on more of it tomorrow. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Thanks.